You are live. From a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in occupied states of America. Blah, blah, blah. I am Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, also known as the, it was the Bearded Possum. What are you now, brother?
Oh, I suppose I could still be the Bearded Possum.
You don't even remember. You don't even know any, I don't even know anymore. And then we got a special guest. Third wheel for the day, Ms. Katie Chaos. Are you there?
Hello.
Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
No, we are safe for now. And hey, I would like to be the Liberty Lion.
Okay.
Hold that one.
Okay, we'll try that one for a while. So, Ben, what's on your mind?
Hey, you've been doing a little thing where you correct previous broadcasts.
Yeah, it's our new segment called "I Was Wrong."
Well, I've got one. Michael was wrong. You've said a couple times that your co-hosts use that one special mic that you always recommend, which is a really good mic.
Yeah, I use it. I know.
No, I use the Shure Beta 57A.
Yeah, I know. You know, I like the Shure Beta 57A. I have the Shure Beta 57A, and you, sir, are using a Shure Beta 57A. The only thing I don't like about that mic, there's two reasons I'm not using it. It's technically a better mic than the mic I'm using. I have much better mics than the mic I'm using. I'm using the same one all our co-hosts use, which is the $50 Audio-Technica 2005B USB, whatever it's called. The one that you can get on the Freedom Feed site if you go over to the right and click on the sidebar on the link that says, use the mic our co-hosts use. That's an amazing mic, and anyone who wants to do audio over the internet, whether it's radio show, connecting via the internet to the network, or whether it's a internet quote radio unquote show, or whether it's a podcast, or whether it's even just Skyping. If you run a business, you should get one of these mics, because even if people can't distinctly say that sounds good, they will pay more attention to your words. Like, you will do more business if the clients you're talking to think you sound better, even if they don't know it. It just gives them less ear fatigue. They can talk better. They can listen better to what someone's saying if they sound good. The reason I don't use the one Ben's using is it's got a really tight pickup pattern. Like, literally the sweet spot on that mic is like the size of a strawberry, you know, in 3D, in the 3D theoretical spot in front of it where it sounds really good. And the mic that I'm using that the co-hosts use, the sweet spot is about the size of a grapefruit. I do have an RE20, which is kind of the broadcast standard of microphones, which is a much more expensive mic. It's in pretty much every studio, radio studio in the world, or 98% of them. And that thing has a sweet spot like the size of a basketball and rejects a lot of background noise. But I'm using the same mic most of my co-hosts are using because I want to be sonically more matched to them, you know, like given two mics, like the mic I'm using and the mic Ben's using, that are roughly the same, I think it'll sound sonically better. And Ben doesn't need to change. It's me that had to change because I'm working with the same 12 people over and over and over. He only works with me once a week or so. So that was a whole lot of tech talk, huh?
It was.
Yeah, but we do that on the Freedom Fiends because we're a teaching hospital. So was that the I was wrong, or was there another I was wrong?
No, that was the only one.
Yeah, and it's my new segment, I Was Wrong. And the point is, everybody's wrong all the time, but I admit it every show. I go back and say what I was wrong about the day before. Let's see. I made a mistake yesterday. I said that Chris Novoselic from Nirvana lives in rural Wyoming. No, he lives in rural Washington. And I knew that, but I was speaking very quickly, and I live in Wyoming. But no, man, he lives in rural Washington, you know, Seattle punk rock. Where do you go when you retire from Seattle punk rock? You know, 100 miles outside of Seattle and you buy a farm. Let's see. A mistake that my co-host made yesterday in describing Cards Against Humanity. The black cards are the call cards and the white cards are the response cards. And let's see. Yeah, I think that's it.
I think part of the reason that we're doing this is that we, you and I, Michael, share a love of the truth, even at the cost of our own humility or whatever. Our dedication to the truth is such that when we make a mistake, and it's generally not because we're trying to deceive anybody, but when we make a mistake, we have there's no ego keeping us from admitting that and saying it because we seek the truth.
Yeah. Are you segueing to a particular story I think you might be segueing to, or are you just talking?
Only if you want to go in that direction. We do have a news update.
We have to eventually. Well, I will say that you and I were not, I won't say the victim of a person, but the brunt of a person who really went out of his way in a creepy way to try to correct me on something. And I'm not picking a personal beef on the radio, on my bully pulpit of he's got 8 followers on Twitter and I've got 100,000 listeners on radio. I'm not quite doing that. but I'm basically saying, like, kind of giving the universality of, like, everybody has these problems of just, like, I won't say crazy, but the person who just wants to be right no matter what and just wants you to be wrong no matter what and opens from that. Before I go into this beef we got with anonymous person X on the internet, because we do a radio show and he wants to do one and was trying to tell us how to do it and was probably trying to get on as a co-host. And, you know, if you look at a merchant on a site like Amazon or eBay that does it really well, you know, they'll have like 99%+, you know, favorable responses from thousands of people who have, dealt with them. But no matter what, like, almost nobody has 100%, because some small percent of people are nuts and just want to screech and don't want to solve problems. And like, every merchant has run into that. Every person has run into something where, like, no matter how professional you are at what you do and no matter how well you did your job, there's one person out of 100 at least that's going to be like, you're horrible. You didn't do what I wanted to. Have you had that experience in life, Ben?
Oh yeah, definitely. You always get that, the weird 1% out there that are just completely, you can't make them happy no matter what you do.
Yeah. Katie?
Yeah. I've definitely run into that, especially at work.
Yeah. So. Can you say on the air what you do for a living?
Oh, sure. I am a government school teacher.
I'm sorry.
I make YouTube videos on the side as a hobby, but I use my time in the school to kind of infiltrate and convince kids not to join the military and not to go to college if they have a really valuable trade, which most of them do because I work at a technical high school. And basically teach about Bitcoin and try to get in there and disrupt the way things are done.
Cool. Cool. And if people don't know what government school means, that's our word for public school. It's the school that you pay for no matter whether you send your kids to private school or not. Ben?
Katie is an undercover spy.
No, she's not.
That's right.
She's changing the system from within. All right. So back to people that get creepy with you no matter what. So there was a guy who had been listening to this show for I don't know how long, but he wrote, you didn't meet this guy, but a couple of the other co-hosts had actually met him at an event and heard him speak and thought he was an okay guy. And he sent me an email that was like a page long condemning Ben, the guy I'm talking here with now, my good friend Ben, like saying he talks out of his butt and just screeching at both of us. Like, this was the first guy's contact to me. And again, I'm not just airing my beefs on the internet. I'm talking about universal things that I think everybody has some experience with. So this person's first contact to me was screeching. It was like, you're doing it wrong. I respect you, but you need to blah, blah, blah. Like, first of all, these are warning signs of people you should immediately just block from your life and not deal with if you have any choice at all. And you do, unless they're the government. And even then you probably have some choice. So his first contact with me was like telling me what I'm doing wrong and acting like I owe him something. And then he gave his bona fides, like, you know, all these, you should listen to me because blah, blah, blah. And it was like, you know, expert in medieval studies or something. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about, man? We're just talking about this, you know, current events. And basically the third thing is like kind of out of touch with reality, because he was correcting me on something I said 3 years ago and saying it as if I said it yesterday. And also, here's another warning sign of people. They're like overly familiar and you should get away from immediately. His first email to me acted like he knew me. I almost thought, have I talked to this guy before? And this is like continuing a conversation we were having last week. I get a lot of email, which also, you know, someone acting familiar with you the first time I talked to you, it's also a function of, you know, you're on the radio, he's listening to you. People kind of have, they fill in the conversation in their head and kind of talk to, not even celebrities, just voices, you know, people talk to the voices in their head. And when the voices in their head are voices on radio, it's easier to talk to them. I mean, I'm not guilty of this, but I understand this. I'm empathetic with this. Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, who is one of my best friends and one of our co-hosts today. The first time I talked to him, I felt like I knew him because I'd been listening to his podcast so long. You know, that's the power of spoken word. It's like one person speaking to another. It's the oldest form of human communication. It's totally innate. Like, you don't even have to be able to read to get it, you know, to get something out of it. What say you, Ben?
I feel like, Katie? Real quick, Ben does the best solo podcast too, the Bad Quaker podcast. He just talks and he's a great storyteller, and I definitely recommend it for especially some of his episodes from last year. I think that he does one of the best jobs of just him talking.
Yeah, it's badquaker.com. And you work pretty hard at those, Ben, don't you? You take some notes and you do some post-production editing, don't you?
I do. I actually put in close to 8 hours per podcast, which, wow. And it's work. You know, it's a lot of study. It's a lot of rehearsal, reading it through, making sure that I've got it all in my mind. And I still make horrible mistakes in it.
Yeah. I guess the thing that I'm going to, before we go to the break in a minute here, to kind of tie this up, is resist the need to engage with people who obviously just want to fight. You know, I'm not a pacifist. If someone tries to stab me, I'm going to shoot them to keep them from stabbing me. If they knock the gun out of my hand, I'm going to use any weapon available to gouge their eyes out and defend my life and not die and stop them from killing me. And the same thing on the internet and in talking. You know, you don't have to engage with people. And there's a lot of people who finally have some say because they're on the internet, and they just squander it by screeching and they want to fight with people, and you'll never win. So step away before it starts, man. Block them and just leave.
Yep.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
You're alive. Yeah. Thank you. This is Mr. Michael Dean. I'm the Freedom Fiends, where we talk about everything under the sun. Ben Stone and I talk a lot. We have a third wheel here, but she's going to jump up in the driver's seat for a segment. So, Katie Chaos. I love that name. It's such a like old school punk rock name.
Yeah, thank you. I love it too.
So were you listening to lots of punk rock bands when it was happening back in 1981 and 82 and 83?
I was a big fan of the pop punk thing, like back in the day with Blink 182. Like, I was a big Blink head. That doesn't really count as punk. That's more of like the poppy top 40, quote unquote punk.
I guess what I'm trying to do is ask a lady her age without asking her age. Were you alive in 1982?
No, I was born in 86, okay. So I'm 28.
Okay. So what's on your mind, young lady? Well, sound like a talk radio co-host. Tell us, young lady, what are the youths of today thinking about?
Well, you know, Michael, I feel like this is the year of the crazy feminists. Now, let me just say right up front that I'm for equality among the genders.
I got to say, I thought that in 1976, but go on.
Yeah, and I mean, they always say feminism is just about equality, but if it was really for that, why do they even need to call it feminism? I mean, there's been all these crazy Twitter campaigns this year with the yes all women or yes all men and kill all men. And I'm not sure if you saw the Emma Watson speech, which had a good amount of irony in it. She calls for men to come in and be feminists, basically, and to speak about it and how feminists need to be equal. And, you know, she started the hashtag he for she campaign on Twitter. And I just find that completely ironic. I make a lot of videos about this, too.
What's your video channel so people can go check it out?
Oh, it's just Katie Chaos, K-A-T-Y, and then Chaos with a K.
All right.
So, and it's funny, like the latest video with the children, the girls dress up as princesses, they're potty mouthed feminists. And I feel like that's really weak, because if you need to dress up kids as political props to say the same refuted arguments over and over again, the message is really weak, but
all political action has always used children as human shields, whether it's, you know, literally against bullets, or, you know, Obama surrounding, or any president surrounding themselves with children while signing a bill that is one of those think of the children bills, you know, down to people. And I guess the thing I probably have the least problem with is people taking their kids to protest something, because that's teaching them how things don't work, how things don't work.
They're so young, they don't even understand what they're talking about yet, most likely. And the things that they get angry about, like at the end of the video, they talk about how women are objectified in culture, and stop thinking of women as just pieces of meat and with their body parts and everything. But you never see them getting mad at other women, you know, like Beyonce being scandalous in her video, or Iggy Azalea being half naked and wet and rubbing, you know, all this crazy stuff. They never get mad at other women. They just kind of blame the men, and they put forth really weak statistics about rape from a CDC study where they asked the question, have you ever, you know, had sexual relations drunk? And if a woman says yes, they count that as sexual violence and include it in the rape statistics. So there's a lot of weird stuff like that going around on the internet these days. But me and my husband, we're poking fun with it this year. Halloween is coming up, and I am going to be a potty mouth political pawn in the video. And he is going to be a social justice warrior dressed up in warrior gear. So we're going to have a little bit of fun with it.
That's excellent. Yeah, I think that the whole, there's a couple issues in here. You know, you're saying it's the year of the crazy feminist. I don't know. I mean, you know, one of my, you know, first memories of the news is like Gloria Steinem and people burning their bras. This, you know, the 60s and the early, which extended into the early 70s, the 60s were kind of the, it wasn't just the me generation. It was the, everyone has a voice generation. And that's really come to fruition in a way with the internet. And basically everybody can screech to the world now in a way that they couldn't in the 60s without using the mainstream media. And there's a lot of noise to the signal ratio. And I believe in equal rights for all, but I don't believe in them. And I don't think any of us believe in them enforced at the barrel of a government gun, or written into laws that are counterintuitive and end up having the opposite effect of what they should have. And I believe people can exist without rulers, and the people who didn't want to would probably, it'd be pretty messy for the first day. There might be some blood in the streets, but, you know, it'd be less aggressive than all governments now doing everything they do on a daily basis.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Meow with me. Meow with me. Katie, can we get a meow?
Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends. We like to meow. We say the word worms, and we don't care. Worms is our aloha. Worms. It means hello, goodbye, and mainly, I concur and wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
And it also means I have not been contacted or compromised by the government.
Yeah, it's our warrant canary. So if we ever stop saying it and start saying word, instead, it means we've been contacted by the government and forbidden from talking about it. So, Ben Stone, what's in the news?
Well, this is kind of internet geek kind of thing, libertarians only sort of news.
No, but it isn't, because we're going to bring it to why everyone should care.
So there's this guy named Stefan Molyneux, and he has a show called Free Domain Radio, which is not actual radio. It's just the internet.
It should be Free Domain, quote, radio, unquote.
Yeah. It's amazing to me.
I'm not bashing him on that. As someone who struggled really hard to get on actual radio, it kind of irks me when people call internet talk shows radio, because they're not.
Yeah, and all the time on my podcast, I don't refer to my podcast as radio because it's simply not. It's just not true.
Yeah. His is probably more radio sometimes because he actually does live shows streaming over the internet. He does videos where he kind of scripts them out and sometimes has visual aids in them where there's a thesis. And he's like, today I'm going to explain to you why all governments want to kill you. And those videos, and most of those are older. He hasn't really done those in a long time. I actually used to like those, and Katie used to actually like those. And did you used to like those, Ben?
I did. Some of them were really good.
Yeah, I mean, I used to send people, when people would ask me, without the government, who would build the roads? I'd be like, I don't have time to explain it to you, and I don't do as good of a job as some people. Go watch this Stefan Molyneux video. And I'd send them to this guy's videos. But over the years, he got further and further away from his primary purpose and more into kind of his own thick libertarianism view of the world that became a philosophy and had cult-like aspects, including telling people to leave their family. Now, I have no problem with somebody being suggested, when the suggestion being given to someone to leave an abuser, you know, if someone's hitting them or even not hitting them, but just constantly dragging them down and belittling them. And, you know, you should get out of that. But he would encourage that externally. He would say, I only encourage that in cases of abuse. He would say that's the situation, but privately and sometimes publicly, he would do the complete opposite. Like, he did a whole video series called But My Parents Were Nice, which was basically trying to convince everyone that every parent is an abuser and that everyone should leave their parents and spend all their time talking to Stefan Molyneux and giving him money. He survives on donations. This guy has $144,000 worth of Bitcoin sitting in his Bitcoin wallet. It's a public number. You can look it up. And then he hammers people like, you gave me a $2 donation. That's not enough. The wonkiness just doesn't end with this guy. There's so many things that are warning signs. The other thing is, I mean, if you've only ever listened to his videos where he scripts them out and they're well thought out to an extent, he seems pretty brilliant. He's a good talker. But if you listen to his, and most people who defend him when a problem comes up, and problems come up with this guy over and over, and a huge one has come up for him, and we're going to talk about that. A lot of people defend him without checking out the evidence. And the evidence they often don't check out is that they've only seen those well thought out older videos and they remember them fondly, like, ah, the good old days. And they haven't seen like his, you know, recent regular call-in shows where he just listens to somebody talk about their problems for like, you know, between 20 seconds and a couple minutes, and then interjects and gives them ridiculous advice about making drastic moves in their life and basically like psychoanalyzing people without really knowing what's going on, man. So what say you, Ben?
Yeah, and there was a YouTube channel from a person that called themselves True Shibes, and they spent hours and hours and hours and took little chunks and showed where Stefan Molyneux was inconsistent on some of the things that he was saying. And some of the stuff, admittedly, was very petty, and others were major aspects of inconsistency in Stefan's philosophy. And then there was a whole different YouTube channel that was doing a completely different thing. And this second channel that leaves my mind at the moment,
it was called Free Domain Damon. And the guy has since been kicked off YouTube, but come up, like, basically started websites and made heinous claims about anyone who's critical of Molyneux, to the point where some people think it is Molyneux. I don't think it probably is, or they think it's his right-hand man, Mike DeMarco. I don't think it is. I think it's someone that used to be deep in the organization and got kicked out for, you know, hitting on women or something and went nuts. But I mean, like, that guy has made videos like saying that I beat my late child. You know, my daughter who died of cancer, that guy has said that I beat her. And there's no truth in that. And he just made it up. I mean, he's clutching at straws. But yeah, so Molyneux's right-hand man took down that channel because it was doing that to Free Domain Radio listeners, but also took down True Shives channel, which wasn't doing that to people. It wasn't harassing people. It was just pointing out the inconsistency in his videos. And also one thing that it turns out she did is she took videos that he had posted years ago that were extremely embarrassing that he'd taken down, and she had copies of them. Let me play a 1 minute and 22 clip from True Shibe's mirror that she put up on some of it on YouTube and some of it on Daily Motion, where Molyneux, this is mind blowing to me. And what we're getting at is Molyneux used the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, Molyneux and his right hand man, Mike DeMarco, to take down, like to censor True Shibe's channel on the internet, have it removed. And then basically, what it comes down to is True Shibe's is suing Molyneux and has filed in federal court. And, you know, it costs 20 or 30 grand to do that. And I know that, you know, because I have lawyers in my family and things like that, like to use a hotshot LA lawyer to do that, it's not something you do lightly. And that's why no one's ever done it. But, and you can, if you want to contribute to True Shibe's campaign, because this is a civil rights thing. This is literally like, you know, if she wins this, it's not going to have bad unintended consequences. It's going to make it hard for people to just censor stuff on the internet. You know, this is a case that will become precedent regardless of which way it goes. You can go to trueshibes.com. That's trueshibes.com and learn more about True and the case. And you can read the lawsuit, the 16-page filing in federal court. That's mind blowing and kind of amusing at times because it quotes things that Molyneux has said that, like, I can't even read on the radio, and it's there in a legal pleading or a filing. But let me play this mind-blowing minute and 22-second video that Molyneux had taken down at some point, but True had saved. And, you know, I really feel like True has done a service to the world because this guy's really popular. He's stepping on people. He's censoring critics. And then criticizing the government is most of what he does. Like, basically, he's acting like the government. And then on the one hand and you know, criticizing the government on the other hand. But it's very inconsistent. This one is creepy, though. This is one of the ones he took down that True saved. This is a video of him talking about, okay, his wife is a therapist, you know, like a psychiatrist in Canada, a licensed therapist with clients and a, you know, client, an office in her home where people come in and lie on the couch or sit in a chair and pay money, probably Canadian free healthcare money. Well, you got to pay on top of it too in Canada. It's not free. To, you know, solve their problems and give their innermost secrets. This is Molyneux talking about the fact that he sits in the other room and listens in on these conversations through the heating vents and sometimes talks, like joins, you know, advises the client. And he's not a therapist, and he has a history of giving really bad advice, I think. But here you go.
She still finds it very, very difficult when she is a recognized authority and they are genuinely in distress. And she has their sole attention, and they're paying her to do it, and she has them for weeks or months. She still finds it very difficult to effect meaningful change in people. And that could be a lot of times because I'm upstairs, and what I'm doing is we have a vent system in our house, and Christina works in the house. And so if I'm home, like if I'm working from home, or if she's got an early evening patient, and I'm home, and I'm upstairs, what I'm doing is I'm in the vent system. I'm sort of listening, and she calls it heckling. I don't really call it heckling. I just call it providing suggestions about how things should go. and that the people should donate to Freedom Main Radio. I mean, it takes them a little while to figure out what on earth that is, but I do sort of try and put my two cents in, and Christina says that that sometimes can be a little distracting and so on. But even with the combined weight of her, like, directly in front of them, and me, my ghostly voice floating in through the vents, they still have trouble making the kinds of personal changes that really have a positive effect on their life.
That is just mind-blowing to me. What do you think, guys, girls,
that gals? That is unbelievably creepy. If I were in an analyst or an advisor or any kind of situation like that, and that happened, I would immediately leave, not go back, and see about what legal action I could take. Because doctors on any level, it's a matter of morals, are not supposed to allow the private exchange of information to get out like that.
I don't care what a straight up anarchist somebody is. There's no way a sane person can think that that is ethical. You know, forget the law, forget the government, forget the licensure. When someone is going to a therapist, you know, even in a libertarian paradise, that would be wrong, 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 wrong. Katie, you had a comment?
Yeah, no, I think that is absolutely creepy. And a lot of people, when they found out about that video clip, are not happy, and they weren't happy with him lying on the Joe Rogan show, or, you know, they think that he's lying. And the whole DMCA being hypocritical from what he said he believed in before. So I think what's going to happen is a lot of people are going to divest, like those people that subscribe to his show by sending him monthly donations. I think a lot of people are pulling
that away. Oh, it's happening. It's already happening. Yeah. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
So Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, is going to tell you something about law. What is it, Ben? And this is something we've established. We had Stephen Kinsella on, who is an intellectual property attorney on the show. And basically he said, here's the thing. I'll say it. I got it in front of me. I got it right here. Molyneux, and this is not going to turn into another 5 days of talking about Molyneux Solid. It's breaking news. So anybody who's saying, why are you still talking about Molyneux? Because he's being sued, and that's news. And it's not just news in the little libertarian pond. It's news. This could be a precedent-setting case. This is a case, True Shives suing Molyneux for taking down her clearly fair use videos of him after he said he doesn't use copyright and anyone can use his stuff anyway. And also she's suing him for slander. And a lot of people think they know the law. And I want to talk a little bit later about all of the comments I've seen from people who conflate what they think the law would be in an ideal world and what the law is, and saying things like, oh, I read this filing. There's no basis. This is going to get laughed out of court. No, I've talked to legal professionals who, and I wasn't listening like a rodent hiding in the vent. I've actually talked to legal professionals about this, and there is standing to both parts of this lawsuit. And this is going to go on for years. And if you want to donate, you can go to trueshibes.com. That's trueshibes.com and read about this case. This is a case I would be following even if I didn't know who True Shibes was or Stefan Molyneux. In the same way, you know, that I was following the patent troll cases in Texas that the EFF was defending, and I didn't know. You know, I don't know the people involved. It's a case that affects everybody, and that's why I'm interested in this. So, Ben, what did you got to add?
Well, I was just going to say that a lot of people get confused about this, exactly like you were saying, and they try to say, well, this is just a private case between YouTube and Stefan Molyneux and True Shibes, but that's not the case. This is actual criminal law.
No. Well, the action being filed is civil law.
Yeah, between True Shibes and Stefan.
It's actual federal law.
Yeah.
The DMCA is actual federal law.
Correct. DMCA is federal law signed into law by Bill Clinton.
Thank you, Bill Clinton. And basically, the reason the U.S. is getting far more involved in copyright litigation, or you know, taking people's sites down and going after all sorts of things, and sending Department of Homeland Security to like literally raid underwear from vendors because it you know has a parody of something that's trademarked stamped on it, is because Bill Clinton and his cronies decided, okay, if you are a conservative listening to this and you believe the idea that intellectual property is actual property and should be defended like property, it's not, because it's you know, when you copy a CD, you didn't, the first CD exists, you didn't take it. It's not like actual property where someone has two pigs, you steal one and then they only have one. But you should know that this was all ramped up by your buddy Bill Clinton. If you are backing intellectual property, you are backing Bill Clinton, because he ramped this up because basically he decided to outsource all the manufacturing in America to other countries. And he decided that the one thing America could still have as an economic engine was intellectual property, patents, trademarks, and copyrights, you know, patents on everything, medical equipment, processes, electronics, you know, copyrights on music, movies, books, and, you know, trademarks on things. I think trademarks have some basis, but I think they could be defended without government guns. But this is Bill Clinton's work, the DMCA. So if you like the DMCA and you think that it should be able to be used against people, you are backing one of the main things he got passed that's still around that really affected. You know, it was kind of his Obamacare, but it worked. All right, we'll be back. And it worked in a horrible way. Obamacare is horrible, but doesn't work yet. But the DMCA is horrible, but it works. You know, it's being used against people. And it's being used to silence critics. And that's my biggest problem with Molyneux, isn't that he used government guns. That's kind of hypocritical and funny because he's against them. But he silenced critics that should be able to have free speech to criticize things that are worth criticizing, or even things that aren't worth criticizing. People should be able to criticize people. And that's kind of the basis of one of the main freedoms that people have, is free speech. And apparently Stefan Molyneux doesn't like it, and he's actually getting sued for violating it. We'll be back with more in hour two about this precedent-setting lawsuit against Stefan Molyneux filed by Jay Raven, is True Shive's real name, if you want to read the pleading, the filing.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow, Ben. Meow.
Meow.
Meow. All right, this is the Freedom Fiends. Hour two. Good afternoon, Amarillo. We do like to meet. We're on 33 stations, but there's one that only carries the second hour on Sundays. And it's Amarillo, Texas. I welcomed him yesterday. I forgot. It's not the whole weekend. It's just Sundays. So, yeah, man. Welcome, Amarillo, Texas.
I like Amarillo, Texas. I've been through there many times.
I love it. Yep. I used to date a woman from Amarillo, Texas when I lived in San Francisco, and I used to fly out to see her. She later died of a drug overdose, but I don't want to go into my sordid past. I was clean at the time. All right. So, and it was sad. She was a good person. So, maybe if anyone's listening, I don't know. Would it be crass to like give her name? Maybe someone knows her and, you know, I'll say nice things. Her name was Connie Wilson. She was a nice person. Connie Williams. She was a nice person. And she is no more. And she was a friend of mine. I'll say that. It's not crass. She was a friend of mine also. So hello, Amarillo. And if anyone knows new Connie Williams, she was pretty cool. All right. So we're talking about lawsuits and the people who file them and the people they're filed at primarily. We're talking about this guy, Stefan Molyneux, who is he's a bloviator. He's a loudmouth. He's a guy who makes videos and proclaims. Okay, here's some things he's proclaimed, and we're going to make this universal. So if you don't even know who this guy is, you're going to care because you're going to see that other people do this that you know. He's proclaimed himself the most popular philosophical conversation in the world. He has said on video, you can go look this on YouTube. He has said that no parent has been a good parent throughout history until him. Now, just marinate in that for a minute. What do you think of that, Katie? Chaos? Katie Chaos?
I really don't believe that he even said that because this is research that's been out there for over a decade now.
Okay, do you not believe? Do I need to play a video at you when you say I don't believe he said that? Do you? You're amazed he said that, or you?
I mean, I'm amazed, but I kind of after listening to him, I do believe that he would say that. But I mean, this is widely accepted research now that you shouldn't spank and you should use nonviolent communication and practice peaceful parenting. He's not the first and only person who have ever said this.
He did not invent that. Basically, Benjamin Spock was the first person to widely say that in the late 50s, early 60s. Dr. Spock, Dr. Spock's baby book, which, you know, some of it has been discredited for good reason, but a lot of it was really solid.
Yeah.
And to the point where a lot of conservatives hate him because they say he's what's wrong with what happens now. Like, you know, I'm not saying you should ever hit a kid, and I don't think you should, but some of his permissiveness, I would say, kind of led to the entitlement that we have now. I guess I'd agree with the square conservatives on that. But, you know, it was, put it this way, when people come up with a new thing, it's usually flawed and has to get tooled by other people's input over time. And I will say that, like, Stefan Molyneux's failure is not a failure of the idea of, you know, an anarcho-capitalist giving talk therapy without a license. I think that could work. I think, you know, I've seen Free Talk Live take calls with people with a problem and just kind of like help the person solve it. And they don't even profess to do that. And they are, you know, Ian is not a fan of Molyneux and kicked him off his LRN network when things started getting wonky.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Molyneux,
you know,
is,
what's funny? I made a video like a spanking, sucky spanking arguments video. And a couple of my friends, like internet friends, were like, we were just waiting for you to name drop Molyneux and you never did. And we love that.
Well, that leads to another thing is that a lot of people are afraid to criticize this guy. And we on the Fiends are not, and actually have taken a lot of heat for it. I think a lot of libertarian rock stars, a lot of like the name people, and I'm not counting myself in that. I think we're kind of like the libertarian, independent garage band. That's really good. We're not the rock stars that people like Berwick and Molyneux and Tucker and Larkin Rose are. And interestingly, like there's three of the people I named besides Molyneux there have all backed Molyneux without really looking at the evidence. Now, Ben, why do you think that is?
Well, a little bit of it's laziness, but also, you know, we get beat up so often on the internet that when we see somebody else who's very similar to us and we see them getting beat up, it's kind of an underdog effect. We immediately want to jump to their defense without even checking the story out and seeing what it is, because we've been beaten so many times.
Yeah, without even seeing that they deserve to be beaten on verbally.
Yeah.
And the thing is, his fans, okay, one of the critiques of him is people say that he's running a cult because he's telling people to leave their family no matter what and spend all their time listening to him. And he's very indoctrinating, like beyond the basic principles of liberty, which I think he's veered so far from. I don't think he's even a libertarian anymore. Aside from that, he is such a thick libertarian that basically, like, to be a libertarian to him, you have to like read his long book redefining philosophy and agree with everything in it and give him money to be a good guy in his book. And that is kind of, I wouldn't say nutty behavior, but it's very questionable behavior. And, you know, making grandiose statements like no parent has ever been a good parent till him. All parents are bad. People should leave their parents. And the fact that he hides in his house vent, like a rodent listening in, eavesdropping on his wife's private conversations with her therapy patients. I mean, there's 40 other things I could name that are as mind blowing as that.
One major thing that he did, he claimed that, if he wasn't around to tell us all this great wisdom that he has,
yeah,
that no, we'd have to wait another 2,500 years for the next great man like him to come along and guide us.
Yeah, he's basically saying he's the savior, that he's Jesus. You know, he's an atheist who has made a cult, literally. I mean, a culty like religion around himself. And I'm choosing my words carefully because he has said he will sue anyone who calls him a cult, which is more of this censoring of free speech.
And that's really what it's about, too. It's not about, you know, whether we dislike Stefan. I've met him in real life. It's not about whether we like him or dislike him. It's not about whether he's solid in his libertarianism. It's that if you're really a libertarian, you will respect another person's ability to criticize you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of interesting because I have a couple critical things that I've put on the internet via videos or what have you. And I sent him the spanking video that I made. I'm like, hey, I would love for you to, you know, share this on your wall or channel, whatever. And he's never even answered me.
Because you're not donating $500 a month to him.
I'm not a philosopher king. Yeah, I'm not in dinner circle.
I'm not saying that lightly. I have talked to several people who used to be donators to him who, you know, donated money. And then if they like, and he paid attention to them. And then if they stopped, he just ignored them, like literally ignored them.
Yeah.
Ignored them or sent,
I'm getting.
Or send him cut and paste letters of, hi, I've noticed that your donation did not renew this month. Can I ask why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ben, what do you think?
I've known evangelists that acted exactly like this, and it just turned my stomach. You know, it actually pushed me away from organized religion because you just see that kind of thing, and it just feels wrong. It tastes bad. It's like eating something sour or something.
Yeah, and here's the other thing: people make allegations that he's running a cult, and I have never used that phrase. I've called him cult-like, but we interviewed two former members of his inner circle. Now he has, if you donate $500, you get the name Philosopher King. It's kind of like buying a diploma. You could get that honorific title on his forum, if you donate $500. But of the Philosopher Kings, of the, you know, few hundred or a thousand of those that there are, he picks, you know, about 10 of them that are willing to do a lot more, that like totally buy his line, just believe every word that falls out of his mouth, and are willing to do free work for him, and invites them to his house and has kind of an inner circle. He doesn't use that name, but those people are privy to information that the general public and even the main, you know, the pool of philosopher kings are not privy to. And there's a high attrition rate with those people. They get burned out literally sitting at his feet while he's on a higher chair than them, dispensing wisdom in his home. And we interviewed two of those people. There's a Freedom Fiends interview, Freedom Fiends interview two former members of Stefan Molyneux's inner circle. It's called something like that. I'll link it in the show notes. And some of the things that they said were just astounding. Now, here's the thing. For an organization that people accuse of being a cult, I think that it does not argue against that allegation the way his fans respond to criticism. Katie, when you've criticized him, what has happened?
I put a couple of videos out there. I get tons of dislikes online. I get long, long, long comments just ripping everything I said apart, using all the logical fallacies that, you know, you're not supposed to use. And it's just been a really interesting experience. I think I've lost a couple subscribers just because, you know, you're not allowed to say anything bad about holier-than-thou Molyneux, and it's been a really interesting experience.
They have a couple set techniques they use that I think he trains them to use, because it comes up over and over and over again, kind of in the same way that when you talk to a statist and say, we could get things organized in society without taxes and a government gun to your head, they say, think of the children, or what about who would build the roads, or why don't you move to Somalia? Like, those are the three main things that come up over and over and over, because they teach them in, I think they teach them in government school. Do you have any experience with that, Katie? Have you heard that?
Yeah, I see a lot of that in government school, and it's really a shame, because they really don't know how to think for themselves.
Logic much, bro? Yeah. And the thing, okay, there's like two or three things the Molyneux supporters do incessantly. One is they try to wear you out. They try to look like they're engaging you in discussion, but basically they're just trying to make you tired, because they're never going to relent. It's not a discussion. It's not a debate. It's a, well, how do you say that? Show me, give me the link. Show me. Why do you think about that? Like, they try to wear you out. And one of the main things they do is if you say, I heard in a video that Molyneux said, blah, 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 they say, prove it. And that's the thing. Wait, this is the thing that is why he went after True Shibes, because True Shibes allowed you to prove it. Molyneux has like 2,000 videos and 2,000 podcasts, and you can't go back and search them in the middle of an argument. But with True Shibes' videos, you could link the video where she'd found the 1 minute he said that and labeled it as such. And the other thing they do is say, well, if you don't like him, why don't you debate him? And he says that he puts critics to the front of the line. He doesn't do that anymore. He does not. We've tried. People I know have tried.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. When I needed a robust and secure home business computer network for my radio show, I hired QPG.us. QPG.us did a great job with a complex custom setup and did it remotely over the internet. Whether you have one computer or 1,000, QPG.us can set up your small business network, no matter where in the world you live, fast and at a reasonable price. QPG.us is a liberty-loving company that can also help you with networking, domain name registration, DNS, email, SSL, VPNs, and more. That's QPG.us. Freedom Fiends. All Molyneux, all the time. No, I'm kidding. So, Ben, kind of put this whole Molyneux thing in this lawsuit against Molyneux. I want to kind of put this in more general terms, not just terms about it itself, but like why the person who doesn't know who Molyneux is should care, who's listening, because I think there's a lot of reasons.
Well, it's really about freedom of speech, because if you can't go on the internet and express your opinion, which is all that was happening here, really, and quote other people, you're not stealing their material or taking credit for something they did, but you have to, in order to put things in context, you have to be able to quote people. And if you can't go on the internet and quote people and then express your opinion about it, then really what do we have left with the internet? What good is the internet other than cat pictures and maybe, you know, naughty pictures? But so this is not a fight about, you know, one libertarian guy who feels he's getting picked on, so he goes and runs to YouTube and whines. That's really not what this is about. It's really about can someone use the law, which is what the Digital Millennial Copyright Act, the DMCA, is? It is law. It is a criminal, a criminally prosecutable
federal law.
Yeah, exactly. A federal law.
Yeah, and like it's prosecuted a lot of times by them sending men with assault rifles in armor kicking in doors. You know, this,
and they will come in and take your computer right out of your house, just under suspicion on this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, can we live in a world where that's tolerated, where people can just decide, you know what, I don't like what you're saying, I'm going to sic the police on you.
Yeah.
And then there be no repercussions for that. And the repercussions of that action is what we're looking at now. True Shibes then suing Molyneux and saying, you have damaged me, you have done this. And now the court is going to decide, can this be done? Can someone just use this law, abuse it any way they want, and make people shut up just because they're saying something you don't like? And that's why it's more important than between these two individuals of Molyneux and True Shibes. It's more important because it's important for all of us to know that we can continue to say things, even if we're wrong, as long as we're not lying about something, we're not, you know, you're not slandering someone by saying some horrible thing about them. You're just giving your opinion, or you're taking what they said and then setting it beside something else that they've said. And that's what we're talking about. And that can't, you, if that stops, if we're not allowed to do that, then really what good is the internet to us?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the internet is just a publishing platform, but it's an amazing publishing platform that has never existed before, because it literally puts the power to reach the world in the hands of every person in the world. And it scares the government because it's basically the slaves can talk to each other. But I still really believe, you know, there are exceptions here and there, but I think for the most part, the government as a collective beast really doesn't care if they're criticized. I mean, yeah, there are cases where they clamp, individual parts of the government clamp down on people for doing it. But I really think that they're kind of like, it's that old thing of like, you know, I don't care if these hippies protest the war as long as they pay their taxes. I really think that the only right people really have left in America and in a lot of the world is to complain. You know, you can complain. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think this trial really is going to remind a lot of people about the Ross Ulbricht case that's going on. I've been following that. I know he's going to trial in January.
FreeRoss.org, if you want to check that out. It's the guy who got shut. He supposedly was running the Silk Road marketplace, which was a cryptocurrency-based anonymous marketplace where people could buy things that you can't necessarily buy at Walmart because the government doesn't want you to.
Like asthma inhalers.
Yeah, like asthma inhalers.
Right, and it's really going to set the precedent. He wasn't the one doing the illegal activities. He just invented the platform. So that will become a slippery slope. Like, what's going to happen if he loses? Are you going to take down UPS for delivering a package that has something illegal in it, or, you know, other similar things? So the nature of this trial is very similar in that it's going to set a precedent for free speech, and with Ross, the whole nature of just having a platform.
Yeah, and she is requesting a jury trial, and she's also named Stefan Molyneux and his right-hand man, the man at his right side, Mike DeMarco, and has named Does 1 through 50. Do you know what that means?
No.
You know, it's like John Doe. It's people not yet named 1 through 50. It's basically unindicted co-conspirators. It's because True probably believes that there are other people involved in this. You know, maybe that guy Damon is involved in the organization. Who knows? Maybe there are other people working behind the scenes on this, and they are named in that without their names yet being known. And more will be revealed, and we're going to actually read some of this lawsuit filing when we get back from the free market. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. All right, we're going to do something that they say you shouldn't do on radio. We're going to read a legal filing and not just an excerpt. We're not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to read the beginning of Truth Sheeb's filing in United States District Court for the Central District of California. Now, I did say earlier how, like, people don't know the law. I don't know the law, but I live with someone that knows the law, and I know people that know the law, and I ask questions. A lot of people on the internet, when a legal thing comes up, give their opinion, give fact, say things are fact that are not fact and are absolutely wrong, because they conflate what they think the law should be and what they saw on some TV show with what the law actually is. And one of the really common things I'm hearing is, they'll never be able to have this work in court because Molyneux lives in Canada and they're filing this in America. Canada and America have agreements on a lot of things, and especially on copyright issues, to where it might as well be the same country. That's closer to the truth than saying he'll never be able to, you know, he can just not show up. I mean, there's exceptions, and there is almost never a yes or no answer to something. It's usually a few paragraphs of yes or no and exceptions, but for the most part, it does not matter that Molyneux is in Canada in this situation. All right, so this was filed a few days ago in United States District Court. It is Jay Raven, an individual plaintiff, versus Stefan Molyneux, an individual, Michael M. DeMarco, a.k.a. MMD, an individual, and Doe's 1 through 50 inclusive defendants. We're going to read the first couple pages of this, and we're going to do it popcorn style, where Katie and I each read a paragraph. I'm going to start. So we're going to read the summary. Summary of complaint. This is a civil action seeking a declaratory judgment, injunctive relief, and damages for misrepresentation under Title II of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, as codified in 17 U.S.C. Section 512. Plaintiff also seeks damages for defamation arising out of defendant's published false statements about plaintiff that she was doxing. And there's an asterisk there, and it says, according to Wikipedia, doxing is an abbreviation of document tracing, an internet-based practice of researching and publishing personally identifiable information about an individual. So basically, Molyneux was accusing True Sheeb's of doxing, like giving out private information about people, harassing and stalking defendants, listeners, and callers, which she was not.
The case arises from defendants' improper assertion of copyright infringement against plaintiff. The infringement allegations were based on plaintiff's use of excerpts of defendant's internet content in the production of videos posted on her True Sheeb's YouTube channel, critical of defendant Stefan Molyneux and his methods of promoting his radical psychological and social theories, which he calls, quote, philosophy.
Unquote.
As a result of defendant's assertion of infringement, YouTube disabled public access to the True Sheeb's videos and ultimately shut down the whole True Sheeb's channel.
Now, before I go on, I want to point out, a lot of people are saying that this is horrible, that True Sheeb's is using the government guns, which is a phrase Molyneux uses a lot, government guns, meaning the force of the government, in this situation. I absolutely believe that Molyneux initiated aggression by using government guns against True Sheeb's, and this is a self-defense motion. It's unfortunate that it has to be done in the courts, and we're not to the Molyneux libertarian philosophical paradise yet, where just a panel of wise men, and it would be men in his vision of it, because he doesn't like women, of wise men, a tribunal would decide these things, like, you know, Plato and Molyneux and, the ghost of Joe McCarthy would sit up there and decide these things. Basically, the only recourse, the recourse she should have had was another thing Molyneux says, that in the free market, people would just be shunned and that would take care of everything. And apparently that didn't work. And mainly he didn't answer any of the allegations. He didn't make any attempts at making retribution with her, you know, making it right, making amends.
Yeah.
I'm all for this. You know, you got to use what's available to you when it's all you have. And this is groundbreaking because as far as I know, Ben, can you think of another lawsuit that's been within against a major libertarian like this?
I don't know of any.
Yeah.
This is the only one that I know of. And specifically in regards to where freedom of speech is being attacked.
Yeah. And this is, as we said, again, this is bigger than the libertarian community and bigger than True Shives and Stefan Molyneux, because this could very well be a precedent setting case, which is why the Electronic Freedom Foundation, the EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, helped True, you know, look for attorneys and recommended some.
I bet he's really wishing that he never picked up the gun in the first place, because now it's backfiring at him.
Well, yeah, and it's making him a lot more visible.
You know, one thing that he always says is you are your actions. Like, what you do is who you are. And the fact that he even did that and it goes against what he talks about, well, his actions aren't in line with his philosophy.
Yeah. And another critique I've heard the critique of True Shibes for filing this, that this is horrible. Libertarians shouldn't be fighting and libertarians shouldn't be using the government gun. True Shibes has never said she's a libertarian. And regardless, she's definitely not someone who identifies as part of our community. You know, she's somebody who is a loves philosophy and doesn't like women being bashed, and found this guy Molyneux. It says in here, I believe, how she found Molyneux. YouTube suggested the video. She clicked on it and her jaw dropped. And she's like, people believe this and it has all these hits. And, you know, just started cataloging the inaccuracies and inanities and contradictions, and just made short little videos that proved it in his own words, or, you know, offered strong evidence in his own words. All right. So number three, is it my turn in popcorn, Katie?
Yes, it is.
All right. What is even more outrageous is that defendants have publicly denounced intellectual property laws, disclaiming any copyright in Molyneux's internet content, and admitted their use of the DMCA, Digital Millennium Copyright Act, against plaintiff was not for the purpose of protecting copyright. Like, that's basically alleging that he perjured himself. Yeah. Okay, so, well, he wasn't under oath. So, but you are under oath when you file a DMCA, you know, under penalty of perjury. So, let's see. According to defendant Molyneux's own statements, defendant's sole purpose in using the DMCA was to prevent plaintiff from doxing Molyneux's listeners. Plaintiff has never doxed, and this is where the slander part of this lawsuit comes in. Plaintiff has never doxed any of Molyneux's listeners. None of the True Shibes videos involved or portrayed any doxing. No doxing was used in the production of the videos, and the published videos do not provide a tool from which parties could dox any of Molyneux's listeners. It is irrelevant anyway, because preventing doxing is not a valid use of the DMCA. On the contrary, it is an affirmative abuse of the DMCA process.
There it is right there.
Yep.
That's what's going to get him.
Go on.
All right. Because True Shives' use of alleged copyrighted material in question is lawful, number one, as defendants have disclaimed any interest in the copyright, number two, under the statutory fair use doctrine set forth in the Copyright Act, 17 U.S.C. 107, and three, because defendants publicly admitted that their use of the takedown mechanism had, quote, nothing to do with copyright or anything like that. He said that directly on the Joe Rogan Show. Plaintiff brings this action to clarify the rights of the parties and to refute defendants' assertions of copyright infringement.
Yeah, and the reason we're reading this, we're not saying, ha-ha, or having schadenfreude, or saying, you know, that it's always great to file lawsuits. Basically, a lot of people are criticizing this whole process who've never read this and don't know what's in it. And we are showing that there are consequences to actions. I do not believe that this is a nuisance lawsuit. I believe there is basis for it. I believe it's going to go forward. It's not going to be dismissed. And it is going to be a precedent-setting case, regardless of how it's settled. So it's a very important, I believe it is a civil rights case. And I believe that rights aren't single issue. You know, if you fight for gun rights, which we do, you got to also fight for free speech rights. And, you know, anybody who is donating money to the NRA or the Gun Owners of America should go look at trushibes.com, TRUSHIBES.com, and consider donating to supporting True Shibes in fighting this case, because she's already probably put out 20 or 30 grand of her own money on this, because that's what it costs to hire a hotshot LA law firm to even initiate something like this. It is a civil rights case, and, you know, We all stroke our pistols and our rifles and polish our bayonets, but, you know, you use your free speech every day. You know, most people that own guns don't even carry guns. You don't use your, are you using your Second Amendment rights? Are you using your right to bear arms? You know, if you're lucky, you won't have to shoot anybody in your life to defend yourself. And everybody who says, I'm waiting for that line in the sand when I'm going to fight back. Well, they have drones now. They don't even care if you have rifles anymore. You can't do anything about it. But you use your free speech every day. So if you care about free speech, you should go to trushibes.com and check this all out. It's TRUSHIBES.com. All right. What were we on? Where are we at in our popcorn?
Number five, parties.
You want to take it? Go ahead.
Sure. Plaintiff Jay Raven is an individual residing in the state of Texas. Raven is known as a YouTuber, a person who produces and distributes video content through a channel on the YouTube website. Until defendants wrongfully caused YouTube to shut her down, she operated her YouTube channel under the pseudonym True Shives.
Okay.
And it had a cute little avatar, too. The little Dogecoin doggy.
And actually, True is had to use her real name in this, but she's also put a picture of herself up now on True Shives. .com and I asked her about it, and she's like, well, you know, I want people to know this is a real person. It's not some cartoon dog. It's actually a person, you know, and she's out of the hiding on it. Now, the funny thing is, this person, Damon, that was doing the doxing that Molyneux and DeMarco conflated and either accidentally or intentionally caused people to think that True Shibes was doing doxing in how they portrayed this. And it looked intentional to me, but I don't know. Carefully choosing my words. That person, Damon, who's still making content out there that not a lot of people are seeing, but it's really heinous and says horrible things about anyone who criticizes Molyneux. That person was convinced and publicly stated in recent things that True Shibes was my friend Jim Jesus, and apparently not. We knew that, but yeah, he wasn't a very good doxer, put it that way. He didn't do his research very much.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Love The Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog The Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review The Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends. Oh, Molyneux, all the time. And, you know, they tried to scare me into not doing this. That guy, Damon, saying horrible things about my family and trying to track down, you know, expose, he was doxing. Like, he, you know, found Jim Jesus's address and Colleen's address. They might have been old addresses. And he posted an old address of mine, an old phone number of mine. You know, basically the idea of doxing is to scare the heck out of somebody into shutting up. So, like, even the fans of Molyneux, some of them, are like using dirty, dirty tactics to try to shut up dissent, like basically acting like Stalin, you know, to where like the idea of doxing is I'm too chicken to show up to your house and throw a brick through your window or kill you, but there might be someone crazy enough out there to do it, so I'm going to publish your private personal information. That is what doxing is. That is what Molyneux alleged, this document, this court filing alleges that Molyneux said True Shibes was doing. True Shibes was not doing that. Damon was doing that and continues to do that and tried to shut me up because I became a vocal critic of Molyneux, but it didn't work. I don't care. Whatever, man. Whatever. So we're going to continue to read this this preemption to a spanking in government court with government guns backing it that Molyneux has weaseled himself into by not abiding by his principles. So read number six, please, Katie.
Plaintiff alleges on information and belief that defendant Stefan Molyneux is an individual and is now and at all times mentioned in this complaint a resident of Ontario, Canada.
Ooh, that's doxing in a government. I mean, that's not doxing. Like, you have to do that in this. You know, you have to identify the person as best you can.
At all times mentioned herein, Molyneux specifically authorized, directed, or participated in the breaches and other wrongful conduct alleged herein, or specifically knew or reasonably should have known that activity under his control could injure plaintiff, and he negligently failed to take appropriate action to avoid the harm. An ordinary prudent person, knowing what Molyneux knew at the time, would not have acted similarly under the circumstances.
That's true, I think. Interesting. All right, yeah. Seven. Plaintiff alleges on information and belief that defendant Michael M. DeMarco, an individual and is now and at all times mentioned in this complaint, a resident of New York. Oh, so yeah, this isn't all people who live in Canada. At all times mentioned herein, DeMarco specifically authorized, directed, participated in the breaches and other wrongful conduct alleged herein, or specifically knew or reasonably should have known that activity under his control could injure plaintiff negligently failed to take appropriate action to avoid the harm. An ordinarily prudent person, knowing what DeMarco knew at the time, would not have acted similarly under the circumstances. So basically, it's the same thing said about Molyneux, but about DeMarco. Go ahead.
Yep. Plaintiff alleges on information and belief that at all times herein mentioned in this complaint, defendants Molyneux, DeMarco, and Doe's 1 to 50 inclusive, and each of them were the agents, joint venturers, partners, representatives, or employees of each other, and in doing or failing to do the things alleged herein, were acting within the course, purpose, and scope of their agency, joint venture, partnership, representation, or employment. The acts, omission, and conduct alleged herein of each such defendant were known to, authorized, and ratified by each such other defendant. It is further alleged in the alternative that some or each of the defendants acted at times independently of all other defendants to cause damage and injury to plaintiff.
Yeah, and I believe that Damon will be named as Doe number one of the Doe 1 through 50. That is my guess.
Yeah.
Okay, plaintiff is presently unaware of the true names and capacities of the defendants sued herein as Does 1 through 50 inclusive, and therefore sues each of those defendants by fictitious name. Plaintiff will seek leave to amend this complaint to allege the true name and capacity of each Doe defendant when ascertained. For convenience, all references herein to defendants shall be deemed to include all fictitiously named defendants and each of them. It could also be people that do, you know, inner circle people that do work for Molyneux if they had involvement in this, unless otherwise specifically alleged. Plaintiff alleges on information and belief that each Doe defendant is in some manner legally responsible for the acts alleged in this complaint and has proximately caused harm and injury to plaintiff. And number 10, all references herein to defendants shall be deemed to include all defendants and each of them unless otherwise specifically alleged. And you can go to FDRliberated.com. That's FDRliberated.com to find a link to this. I'll link that in the show notes. And yeah, man, people are responding. What is it Molyneux said about being you are who you are kind of thing? Let's say that again.
You are your actions.
And you are...
are not in line with his philosophy.
You are your actions. That's going to be the title of this show. And thank you for joining us, Katie, on the Freedom Fiends. It's been good.
Thanks.
Katie Chaos.
And all right, thank you.
Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, thank you for your service too, sir.
Thank you, Michael.
Worms.